hearts and more about prayer. And we pray, Lord, that you want to equip us through the Holy Spirit's grace and power and enable us to be praying men and women who have great results. And we ask you this morning, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, you will just come and take control of my lips, of my mouth, of my heart, Lord, and you just speak the things you want to speak, Lord, this morning. And Lord, equip us some more today, we pray, so that we become effective in prayer and in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just stop the tape just for a minute. Sorry about that. If any of you have any sin, listen to him. Hear him. And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. In fact, Jesus, in another gospel account, I think this is reported twice in the Gospels, in another gospel account, Jesus tells them, I don't want you to tell anyone about this until after I rise again from the dead. Now, you imagine being one of those disciples in that what was a prayer time that Jesus had. He often went into quiet places to pray. He often went into places out there somewhere, presumably so that he could cry out to God, so he could pray alone to God, so he could be himself before the Father, as well as receiving things from him. And in this time of prayer, the Lord appears to him. The glory of God comes upon him. Now, I'm just going to say something this morning about this, because God wants us to meet with him in his glory when we pray. And I'm not suggesting that Moses and Elijah are going to turn up in your bedroom or in your cabin or wherever it is that you pray. Who knows? God could do that. What I will say is this, is that God wants you and wants me to have experiences and revelation of his presence and of his glory coming into that time of prayer. It may not happen in this way every day of the week, because it doesn't. But there are definite times when God wants to come in supernatural ways to visit you. And we should have an expectation that that's what he wants to do. That when you pray, just have this expectation, God could actually turn up any moment. I mean, he is there by the Spirit anyway, but he could reveal himself in any way he chooses. And he will meet our needs, he will meet with us, just exactly as he wants to. But he wants us to meet with him. That's the point of what I'm saying this morning. And to have a successful and effective prayer life, everything is based in not how long you pray or how much you pray, but whether you met with God. Amen. In your prayer. And so that's why the first part of the day, the first part of your time needs to be given to just meeting with him, worshiping him, honoring him, acknowledging him, opening your heart up to him. And that's basically what Jesus was doing. And it's very interesting, because what happened was, during this time, it doesn't say how long it was either, but during this time of meeting with God, what actually happened was the disciples went to sleep. They went to sleep. Why? Because they became heavy. And the reason for that is, it says somewhere else in the Gospels that the Spirit is willing. I'm sure every spirit in this room is willing, wants to meet with God in a new way, right? Amen. Every one of us would love Jesus to appear to us and come into our room. Amen. In his glory. You'd be strange if you didn't want that. Everyone would like that to happen. But it says the Spirit is willing, but the flesh, that's us, yeah, that's what we have this morning, we have the flesh, we're living in the flesh, and in the body, the flesh is weak. So you have these two opposing forces. You've got the Spirit that's willing in you, but then you've got the flesh that encases the Spirit within you. And quite often the flesh will win if you don't begin to let the Spirit inside of you and the Holy Spirit who lives in you begin to rise up and deal with that flesh. And the fact is that when the Spirit started to manifest his presence, the flesh, if you like, got even stronger over these disciples, and they went to sleep. That was the effect. And when they woke up, they saw the glory of God right there. And God wants to, first of all, God wants to deal with our flesh. He wants to deal with our flesh life so that we're not always nodding off, right? And I know what that's like, and you do too. not nodding off when in a prayer time, but meeting with God and actually becoming more alive and more alert than ever. Because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So we've got to learn how to overcome our flesh. Thank you. Overcome our bodies, our thoughts, our feelings, and meet with God in faith. And as you come with an expectation to meet with him, just let his presence come. Just welcome his presence. And then God will do whatever he wants to do in that prayer time. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I'll mention it again, that a few years ago, I really had some struggles. I was, before we started here, I was over at Horsham End. I was doing quite a number of different things, as I still do now. But there was a number of burdens that I was carrying, both for people and personal things. And during that time, you know how it is when you go to bed and you try and hand everything over to God and you put your head in the pillow and those things are still flying around in your head. And you're worrying about them, you're anxious, and you want answers, and you haven't got them all, and you need direction, and all of this. And In the end, I did go to sleep, but I went to sleep not in the best frame of mind. But I did do one thing. I cried out to God for help. 999. Help. And when I asked God for help, I went to sleep, and around about 2 o'clock in the morning, it was in the early hours of the morning, God came. He came into the room. I felt him come in the room. And I felt this incredible, it was like oil and love and grace being poured out. And it's like it came down a great big funnel and it went right through me. And I was held there in that place while I was lying in bed. I couldn't move. But it wasn't a horrible feeling. It was a wonderful experience of the presence of God. I don't know how long it lasted, but I knew during that time that God washed away all the burden, took away all of the indecision and the rubbish, yeah, and the anxieties, and put something fresh in my heart. And when I got up in the morning, I was a different man. That's amazing. I didn't work for it. All I did was I cried out for help. I didn't even know how to pray, to be honest with you. There's so many different things. But when I cried for help, God had the remedy, and he came to me actually when I was asleep, and I woke up and experiencing this amazing thing of his presence. And what that instilled in me was that God said to me, that love and that grace that you experienced, that I gave to you as an experience, is how I love you and how I'm watching over you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks in the year, all the time. That love and that grace and that power that is towards you, that you experienced, was there before you. Before and it's there today, it's there now. He says the difference is that you won't experience it all the time. Now, you'll find all of what I experience in the Word. The Bible says that he's watching over us all the time. It says that he's with us, he'll never let us go, he loves us, his grace is upon us. And we live by faith in what he says. That's what his Word says. And sometimes God will give us an experience, a revelation. He'll show us something that we hadn't seen before that will give us an assurance. It'll support what the Word of God says. Does that make sense? Yes. Now, only God can decide what experience he's going to give to you and what you need. But he will give you special encounters and meetings with him when he sees your hearts for him. He'll give you those special things that you need, and you'll experience special things. I pray that in this church, that everybody in the church will have very special encounters with God, and that the Holy Spirit will reveal himself, reveal Jesus and the Father to you in dynamic, powerful ways, so that you can live, not live on the experience, but through that experience you can see what the Word says is true. Because what I experienced, the Bible says that anyway. It's just that perhaps I didn't believe it, right? God wants us to believe what he says. And because most of the time we're living by faith all the time, and every now and again God will give you an encounter and an experience that you'll carry in your heart that will remind you, remember what God did then, remember what he showed you. And so Ever since that day, I've never questioned. I didn't question before, but it was something was done that day that's changed me, that I know that his presence and his power and his grace is with me 24 hours a day. Amen. And it doesn't matter what I'm carrying the way of burdens of, in the church or for people. It doesn't matter anymore because of that. What he revealed to me that day has changed me. That makes sense. And I pray that God will do the same for each one of us, that he'll give us a supernatural experience of his presence through our coming to him. Hallelujah. Amen. We could call it personal revival, if you like. God wants to personally revive you in red-hot love for him so that you have a fire burning on the inside of you.
Hallelujah.
That is infectious. I mean, the street pastors event that's happening every week, the people that are doing it are hot for Jesus.
Amen.
And when we prayed together on the Friday night and as people was going out on that, I was really excited because Crawley will be changed. Amen. And particularly those people that are out late at night will be changed because people going out there have got the fire of God on them. Amen. And they've been praying. But also there's a group of people that are praying for them while they're going out. So prayer is the key.
Amen.
Prayer's the key for this release. So in your times of prayer, the first thing is to make sure that you've met with God, that you're meeting with God. Everything flows out of that relationship. I've said it before, but it's important to remind ourselves. Now let's go to James, the letter of James, right towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews, James, it's James chapter 5. And while you're turning there, it says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, that there's all kinds of prayer. There's lots of different kinds of prayer. I wonder if perhaps just for a couple of minutes you can just shout out different types of prayer, different kinds of prayer that you know about. So test your knowledge this morning. So because it says that we're to pray with all kinds of prayer. That means that in different situations, we'll need to pray in a different way. We'll need to pray in a certain way. And it says there's all kinds of different types of prayer that we can use. So let's just hear some, just shout out different kinds of prayer that there are. Just
petitions.
Prayers of petitions. Okay, so what's a petition prayer?
A request.
So these are prayers that have a strong request. They're like strong requests, okay?
Persistent
prayer. So we need to be people who pray with persistence. So those are ongoing prayers until we get the results, until we get the answers. What else is there?
Passion.
Sorry?
Passion.
Prayers of passion, okay? Prayers of passion, zeal, fire that we have in our hearts.
Supplication.
Now, supplication prayer is actually sometimes translated petition as well. And the prayer of supplication is a prayer that is a strong, urgent request. So those two, they kind of work together. And the way the Holy Spirit puts on the inside of us, he actually puts within us something of that strong desire, that urgency from God that something's got to change in me or in someone or in a situation. And as that works within us, the way it works is the supplication then begins to work in me so that then God's supplication inside of me works within me, and I begin to then pour out that into a prayer using words, using scripture and truth. And so supplication is something that works in me and then works out of me. Does that make sense? It's not true supplication if it just works in you but it doesn't come out. It's got to come in and then it flows out. That's supplication. The prayer, petition, and supplication is something that the Spirit puts in our hearts. And it's an urgent request. You feel it urgently in here. You know. Sometimes you're going a week, God will put someone on your heart to pray for. And it stays there maybe for a number of days. And you keep praying for that person. And it lifts. That's supplication. Urgent request because they need it at that time. And then you find out later that they went through something and something happened and something changed. Sometimes you're part of the answer to that because during that time of supplication, God says, go round and see them. Give them a text. Go and ring them. Do something. Give them some money. We need to be part of the answer very often when we're praying for people. But that's supplication. What else?
Faith.
Prayer of faith. We can't pray effectively, unless we pray with the prayer of faith. Every prayer must have the have that spirit of faith about it, and that's faith that comes from God.
Guidance.
Prayer of guidance. So what are we doing? We're asking God that he'll guide us, he'll show us what to do. The prayer of guidance. What? Prayer of healing. So where we're praying specifically that God will heal the sick, and we need the gifts of healings to be released when we do that. Okay, great. The prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Now, every prayer that we pray need to be mixed with that, with thanksgiving and praise, where we're giving God thanks and we're praising him that he's heard the prayer, and that will actually release faith, because we're thanking God that the answer is on the way. He's heard our prayer, the answer's on the way. So thanksgiving and praise is mixed into our prayer lives. Let's just hear from a few other people, just for a minute. Let's just hear from a few others. The prayer of love, releasing love in our prayers. Okay, yeah. A prayer of lamentation. We don't want too many of those, but but there is a place, you know, where we actually feel what God feels. God weeps over people. And sometimes you'll feel that come upon when you pray for the lost or you pray for a need, and you begin, it's not just tears, but it involves our tears, and we feel this incredible sadness of God over a situation, and we pray it out. And the Bible says that the tears of the saints are put into a bottle. So if you cry, if you weep for people, if you cry for in prayer, those tears are kept by God. He's kept, they are very precious in his sight, those tears. Not tears of depression. I mean, God knows our tears of sadness, but these are specific tears that we've wept for somebody else, and they're mixed in with our prayers. Those are very valuable tears, and they will have results. What else? Prayers of travail. So travailing prayer is where you're giving birth to something to happen, and that is usually over a period of time. Travailing prayer, it's called. And those of you that have had children will know about that. That travailing prayer. So you're giving birth to there's. It involves the whole of you to give birth to something in prayer. So these aren't light prayers. These are deep, strong prayers.
Wisdom.
The prayers of wisdom, where we're receiving wisdom from God, to actually even to know how to pray. Prayers of forgiveness. Amen. Very important that we're walking in forgiveness. Yeah, amen. Prayers of forgiveness.
Repentance.
Prayers of repentance, where we're repenting quickly of things that we need to. Prayers of
unity.
Unity with God. Unity together. When we pray together, God hears the prayers of the saints when we are unified together.
Prayers of love.
Prayers of love. Coming out of that spirit of love.
Compassion.
Yeah. Prayers of compassion. Warfare praying. That's prayers of authority where we pray. We're praying the word and we're praying in the name of Jesus. Praying in the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is really taking control of our prayer lives, and he's flowing through us in praying in tongues, in languages he gives to us, as well as praying in English. But they're directed by the Holy Spirit. We're praying in the Spirit. Yvonne? Proclaiming. Declaration prayers, where we're speaking the word of God, the truth of God, over somebody's life, and until those things come to pass. Patience, yeah, prayers of patience. Did anyone say intercession? Okay, intercession. We need to be praying prayers of intercession. Now, prayers of intercession is where we stand in the gap for someone else, that we're praying in the gap. You actually take the place of that person, or you're literally standing in the gap. You represent that person or that church or that need before the throne of God. And as you do, you begin to feel what God feels about that person. Begin to feel the burden of it. Begin to feel what God wants to do in it as well. That's the prayers of intercession. Okay, we'll stop there. There's lots of other things we could say, but that's great. That's really good. And in James chapter 5, let's read verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him, what does it say?
Pray.
Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So if you're cheerful, sing. If you're not, well, pray. If you're suffering, pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, there is the prayer of faith, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your sins or your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is important. Some people don't get healed because there hasn't been the confession. So we need to make sure that we are, that we've confessed our sins, basically. And there's a place sometimes where we need to confess our faults and our sins to one another. And as we do so, the healing will come. The effective, fervent, red-hot prayer of a righteous man releases tremendous power. Now, this is a wonderful scripture, verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, and that goes for you ladies as well, the righteous person, avails much, releases tremendous power. In other words, if you're right with God, if you're walking with God, then the effective, red-hot, fervent prayers that God has put within you will release tremendous power. So every time I pray with faith, right, because I'm right with God, I'm expecting God to release tremendous power through those prayers. We can expect tremendous results. Where it says effective, fervent, the picture there is of something that is red hot, something that is fired up, something that emits heat and energy. And this is what God wants us to be, effective, fervent in our prayers. Elijah was a man who had a nature just like ours. Okay, he was a human being. He was a prophet, but he was a human being as well. And he went through things. He got depressed. He got down. He was up sometimes. Sometimes he got threatened by women. Jezebel. And he ran away. That was the flesh side of him. That was the human side of him. And it says that he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. It's not going to rain in Uganda. Okay, so we agree. We're in unity with you, Rose, for that, while you're away there. Now turn with me to Old Testament, and we're just going to look at these couple of things about Elijah this morning. 1 Kings 17. Because Elijah was a man just like you, but he had a very effective prayer life. He had a very effective prayer life. He knew God heard his prayers. And let's read verse 17.
Sorry, what was that?
1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17. And Elijah was a man of faith. But he had a nature just like ours. We are men and women of faith, okay? We have our natural nature and we have our spiritual nature. And it says here, it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, What have I to do with you, man of God? Have you come to me to bring my son to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So the son has died in the house that Elijah visits regularly. And this widow had given the use of a room for him to go there anytime he liked, and she would feed him and look after him, and he'd have his own room where he would seek God and pray and rest. And the son of this widow woman dies. And this wasn't part of the plan. This wasn't part of the picture that Elijah had for this family, and it wasn't part of the widow's picture either. And she thinks that maybe God's judging her. She thinks, you know, there's something to do with her past that's come up. Why has the son been taken? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times. Now, he was in faith that the son would be raised from the dead.
Amen.
He stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. And he did it three times. And on the third time, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. He actually heard the voice of Elijah the first time, but the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Wow, she must have been really happy. She must have been over the moon. Now, then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth and is the truth. Amen. Now, I haven't raised someone from the dead this week. Compared with this, I mean, it was fairly small. But I tell you what, we have the name of Jesus. Amen. We have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether it's a small thing in our minds or a big thing, it's the same name, it's the same power that's there. Amen. So if you can believe God to heal a headache or get a car going, you can also believe God to raise the dead. Yeah. Because the same source of power, Jesus, is there. Amen. And I'll just tell you an embarrassing thing that happened to me yesterday was our daughter Hannah, who passed a test about a year ago, she's had trouble with her little Fiat Punto, right? And it's been doing really well, probably needs a good old service. But yesterday, it just wouldn't start. So the thing was just going like this. Now, I've known there's been a problem there, and I haven't personally sorted out for her yet. So we've just kind of just been making do for the moment. And yesterday morning, she'd blocked us in, so we couldn't get out the drive, and she couldn't get out either. And so I lifted the lid to try and look professional, looked at under the bonnet and looked at the starter motor, Lee, and different other things under there, and hoped that it would start, and it didn't. And we were at this for about 5 minutes. And then she said to me, Dad, she said as she put the window down, why don't you pray in the name of Jesus? Duh.
Oh, no.
So I was rebuked by my daughter, who knows that the name of Jesus always works, as well as rebuked by God for not doing make that the first thing that I should have done. Smack wrist. So I'm sharing my sin, my fault with you this morning. This week, God wants to release things by praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Elijah prayed over the child and was led by the Spirit to lie on the boy three times. I don't know why it was three times, but it was three times. And on the third time, the boy revived. Elijah wasn't desperate. He had faith that God would raise the boy from the dead. The instruction that came through from God was lie on the boy and then come away. Lie on the boy and come away, and that I will revive him. So he followed the maker's instructions, and the boy came back to life again. It's very powerful. Amen. Yesterday, when I pointed to the, I don't know if it is the starter motor, but I pointed to the starter motor. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, car, start. And immediately, there wasn't even a second, it started. Immediately. God wants us to live by faith and use, in the right way, the name of Jesus over every and any situation we're in. And mark the results and give him praise and thanks for doing it. Because the name of Jesus Christ is all power and authority. And praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ brings him in on the scene. That's why it's not like, you know, it's not just a name, it's the name, and it's the authority of all that he is. So when we speak his name, heaven hears the name and the Spirit come, whoosh, and immediately the thing is done. And I believe God wants us to see many more immediate results when we pray. We're talking about praying in the name of Jesus Christ. We're talking about praying in his name. There's some things that God wants to answer straight away where we'll immediately see a difference. And when we don't see a difference, there are things that we will maintain that prayer of faith over until we see the answer comes. That makes sense. So we need to be sensitive to the thing that, I mean, we need that thing to start, yes, as we're stuck. So that's an immediate prayer that needs an immediate answer. So we pray in the name of Jesus. And God will answer the prayer of faith. Now, come with me to 1 Kings 18, and we're just going to look at this and then pray together. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. This is a different kind of prayer now. The one we've just talked about is a prayer of faith that required something to happen immediately. And that case, it was raising a child from the dead. For me, it was starting a car. Okay, it could be 101 different things that you find yourself in. But isn't it crazy that because it's a natural thing, we think, well, it obviously, and the car obviously needs to be fixed. It needs something done to it. There's a repeating fault here. But isn't it amazing that down the list, I went down the list before I prayed the name of Jesus, because I was thinking naturally. And God wants us to be thinking supernaturally. And he wants us to be practical and get our cars right and in order, of course. But he wants, when we're in a predicament, the first thing is pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Over your children, pray in the name of Jesus. When there's something that's adverse, pray in the name of Jesus. Command that demonic thing to go. Command that whatever it is to change. And it will happen. You'll see powerful results when you pray in faith. And 1 Kings 18, here's Elijah. He's a man just like you and me. He has to eat, drink, sleep. He has feelings and so on. Elijah said to Ahab, verse 41, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain." Now, Elijah had spoken a word over the land as a prophet, and he said, "There will be no rain over this land for 3.5 years. Is that right? 3.5 years. Till I say. There will be no more rain until I say." And he actually, God said to him, there'll be no rain for 3.5 years. So he spoke the word and the clouds became like brass. Right? They didn't drop any more rain. And there was a famine, because that's what God had spoken. Elijah speaks the word of God. "So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees." What is Elijah doing? Praying. What kind of prayer is he praying? Travailing prayer, right? This is a prayer of intercession. This is a travailing prayer. This is something that won't get done just on one go. So Elijah goes up and he hears something. Now it says that he heard the sound. He said there is the sound of the abundance of rain. So Elijah was very sensitive in his spirit. He wasn't using his natural senses. He was using his spiritual sense. He actually heard the sound of rain. He could smell it. He had a promise that God said 3.5 years' time there'll be rain, but it'll come when you say so, when you pray for it. So he prayed and it stopped, and now he's in the position now, 3.5 years is up. God has done what he planned to do, and he wants Elijah to pray down the rain. And so here is Elijah, he's up on the top of Carmel. Now, what I'm trying to say here this morning is everything happens through prayer. Amen. Right? We must understand this. God won't just flick his fingers from heaven and bypass his people. Everything will happen through prayer. Everything happens through prayer. Nothing happens on this earth without prayer. So that means God wants to use your prayer and my prayer for his will to be done on the earth, in the church. And here is Elijah, and he goes up and he bows down and he takes the birth position. He's travailing, right? He knows that it's God's will to send rain. He's sensed the rain is on the way, but he knows that it'll only come through prayer. So he's beginning to pray, beginning to cry out to God and thank God that the rain is on the way. And while he's praying there, he says to his servant, "Go up now, go up toward the sea and see," because that's where you'll see whether there's any clouds coming, "and let me know if there's any clouds." And this went on for 7 times. It doesn't say how long this lasted, but for 7 times, the servant came back and says, "Nope, no clouds at all. The sky is clear. There's absolutely nothing there, nothing doing, nothing happening." Not the kind of thing that you want to hear, but Elijah wasn't fazed by it because he was praying the prayers, the prevailing prayers, the prayers of intercession, the prayers of persistence, until he got the answer. He had a promise from God that God was going to do something, and the promise was that there'd be rain. So he was praying, "God, you spoke your word. I'm proclaiming that there will be rain that will come. Send in the clouds. Send in the clouds." And God must have spoke to him and said, "The moment you see the cloud, a tiny little cloud in the shape of a man's hand, that will be your sign that the rain is very, very quickly going to come." And while Elijah, he prays this prayer 7 times, on the 7th time, And the servant is going, doing the yo-yo thing, going backwards and forwards and running back and saying, there's no rain, Elijah, there's no rain. You've got it wrong. But Elijah knew that he heard from God. And while he's praying, this is prevailing prayer. How many of you are, at the moment, you're praying about something, you seem to keep having to pray about this, and because it hasn't happened yet. Prevailing prayers, right? They're the prayers that we prevail over. They're the prayers that we go back to God over. Not with doubts and unbelief, but with faith, because he's spoken his word. He will do what he said, but he needs us to continue to pray over that matter. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. So here, what has happened here is that Elijah, the servant comes back and says, there is a cloud, but it's as small as a man's hand. It's tiny. The tiny little cloud on the horizon. And that's all Elijah needed to hear. That's what he was waiting for. That's what he was praying for. That he was praying that God would send that cloud in, because in that cloud everything was going to happen. And what happened was he told Ahab, he was the king, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. It's going to be an incredible amount of rain. It's going to come 3.5 years worth. And it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, and Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This is a tremendous true story that happened, and it's a picture for us of prayer. God wants to answer two kinds of prayers for us. The immediate prayers, the prayers of faith, where we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray out on the streets. We pray in our families. We pray where there's a need. And we know that God wants to answer the prayer there and then, do a miracle there and then. Amen. There, that's faith in the name of Jesus. But then there's this other kind of prayer that we're talking about, where Elijah has a promise from God. And what he does, he takes that word and he proclaims the word back to God. You said that in 3.5 years, Lord, that you would send the rain. And I'm not going to let you go until you send the rain, because this land needs the rain now. You promised the rain, Lord. I'm praying the rain will come. I'm declaring the rain will come. And Elijah already has a picture. God's already given him a picture. He sees this cloud in his mind, in his heart. He sees a picture of it. And that's what he's praying, God, send this cloud. Because the moment I see the cloud, that will be the sign that the rest of the rain is on the way. What was he doing? He was standing in the gap and he was praying. There was this supplication, a strong, urgent request. Because if the rain didn't come, then many people would die. And the next things that God wanted to do wouldn't happen. And so we need to be the same way, that we come before God, we proclaim the word that he's spoken to us, whether it's something over our personal lives, something over our children, our family, perhaps over our loved ones, maybe over unsaved people. Maybe it's over Crawley. Man, we need to really pray for Crawley, because God's got tremendous plans for this town. And we need to pray over East Grinstead. God's got tremendous plans for East Grinstead in these areas where his kingdom will come and his will should be done. But these things won't happen without a people who will pray and pray the word and pray the things that God is showing us to pray. And so Elijah did this, and as he prayed, and he went back to the prayer place a number of times. Don't give up in your prayers. Don't give up praying what God has spoken his word about. Keep declaring that word by faith and wait to see what he will do, because he will bring about those things that he has said, those promises, even to the 11 and a half hour, you know, just before 12 o'clock. God often, that's often the time when he comes. Just before everything was almost too late, God will turn up, show up, because you didn't stop praying with faith. And God wants to answer our prayers of intercession. So we need to be waiting and watching. We need to be in strong intercession for people to be saved and for his will to be done. And God wants to encourage us this morning that both praying in the name of Jesus, immediate answers, but also those prayers where we need to hang in there and keep in there in intercession. And what will happen is every time that you pray for that particular thing, you build something in prayer. It's like filling up a dam or filling up a bottle full of water, until the thing is full. And once it's full, it'll overflow. Once, it's like putting something on the scales. Once the scales are full, it will tip the scales and the thing will come. And God's saying that's how prayer works. That prayer's relationship will come out of your relationship, it'll come out speaking the word of God over a particular matter, and God will release the answer to your prayer. You heard the prayer the first time you prayed it, but by intercessory type of prayer, that's prayer that's building things up, God does things in the spirit that we don't understand completely, but there's a time when the scales will tip. There's a time scale. God does everything by time. He does things in time. He's eternal, but he does things in time. He's got a time for everything. And we need to be sensitive to his times in our lives. Let's all stand, shall we? I know some of you are chilly and cold this morning. I apologize for that. We're going to get a jet heater in here on a Sunday morning and blast us with heat. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands to the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I believe that this morning that the Lord is just encouraging you this morning and encouraging us as a body, as a church, but as individuals too. Every time you pray, expect to meet with him. Whether you feel anything, whether you see anything, don't worry. Just come into his presence with faith that you're in his presence. And Lord Jesus, this morning, as we lift our hands before you, I pray this morning, Lord, that for all of us in this church, that we will have supernatural revelation of you. Incredible understanding and revelation of you, Lord. That when we meet with you, Lord, that you will come in your glory and you'll meet with us. And that we will have experiences of your Spirit, Lord, the Holy Spirit, coming into the places where we pray, Lord. And touching our lives in a fresh way, in a new way, Lord. You give us fresh revelation of your presence, of who you are, Lord. I pray every person, every child, Lord, every young person, we pray this morning, Lord, that revelation will hit us, Lord, about who you are, Lord, so that we will be equipped in our knowledge of you. We'll have fresh revelation of who you are, Lord, in our lives. And that, Lord Jesus, you'll do a brand new work there, Lord. That every time we come to meet with you. Before we pray anything, Lord, we come to worship you and meet with you, the risen King, the risen Saviour. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we wait upon you, as we spend time in reading your word, reading the Bible, that you will feed us every day, Lord. That manna is for daily, it's our daily food, it's our daily bread, Lord. That we'll receive something fresh every time we open our Bibles and read the word, Lord. And Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that this week, even today, Lord, that where there are needs, that the spirit of faith, Lord, will rise up within us. I pray, Lord, that you will release the gift of faith into every heart here today. As we go out into this week, Lord, that we'll find ourselves in different situations, that we'll step out and we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release provision. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind, I stop this demonic work in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, cast out, or whatever it is, that even people that would be raised from the dead. Father, we pray that that spirit of faith will work in our lives, Lord, this week, today, Lord, and this week, and that we'd be quick to use and put our faith in the name of Jesus. That we get prayer results. We thank you that faith is now, Lord. You want a now people, Lord, who are praying with faith now. Today, at this moment, Lord, and we expect you to answer those prayers of immediacy. And then, Lord, we pray that this week and ongoing, Lord, that you grant us, Lord, that spirit of travail. Yes. That like Elijah, Lord, you give us the tenacity, that red-hot, fervent cry in our hearts, Father, for things to happen. That we begin to learn how to pray out, Lord, your word, what you have spoken. That even those prophetic things you've shown us, Lord, over our lives and over our loved ones, Lord, over our families, over our friends, Lord, over people in the church, Lord, over unsaved people, Lord, over our towns, Lord, and cities, Lord, over our nation, Lord. We pray, God, show us how to pray the travailing kinds of prayers, Lord. Show us how to intercede, how to stand in the gap for people, Lord, where they cannot pray, or where they're not in a place of faith, Lord, that you bring us into a place of faith where we will pray, where we will get down on our knees and cry out to you, Lord, that a spirit of travail, that spirit of supplication and prayer and grace, power will come upon us, Lord, that we'll begin to pray in a new way, Lord, and that we pray, even from the beginning, we pray your word out, Lord, until it comes. Father, I pray today, Lord, release to every one of us that persistent spirit, that spirit of persistence, of prevailing prayer, Lord. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will download, as it were, your spirit of prayer into our spirits, Lord, that we'll pray with you, Lord. We'll pray out of the Spirit, Lord, out of the Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways, Lord. We all need to learn more about how to pray effectively. But we thank you, Lord, this morning that your word says that you answer our prayers. Amen. That the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man releases tremendous power. And we pray today, Lord, release that power upon our lives in the name of Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name and we just receive it, Lord, this morning. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.